To finally close this session, I want to ask someone I've just met before here, Andrew George, and we were talking about this issue of how only your surrender to the sovereignty of God can carry you through in times of the greatest challenges and suffering in your life. And what he told me touched me so deeply, I thought that would be the cherry on the cake of this lecture. So I asked permission from Martin to ask him to come and give a brief testimony of how he experienced everything I have tried to say to you. And Andrew, would you then please close the session with prayer after your testimony?
I stand here reluctantly to share my experience because I'm consciously aware that no experience is normative. And for that reason, I wouldn't like the residue of what I say to be focused around what specifically happened to me. However, I do believe that what did happen to me is an indication of something that I believe could be indeed an encouragement to all the people of God. For many years, I've been privileged to be able to teach people the truths of God specifically in traumatic times and in difficult conditions. And so the truths that we've been hearing from our brother here today have been resident in my mind. But through my own experience, one thing that has been brought to my knowledge in a foremost way is that we must know the truth and the truth must set us free. And even as we've spent time here over this period together, we've heard many significant truths. But so often we can leave just with the knowledge of that truth, and that truth can be resident in our mind and yet not marinated into our life so that it influences our experience. And that's what God intended. And over the last little while, despite me knowing many of these truths before, God has seen fit in a particular way to help me to experience some of the things that I knew in my mind. And I can indeed with Job say that before my ears had heard, but now my eyes see, specifically related to issues with respect to suffering. And so I ask you not to focus on my experience, but to possibly receive encouragement from what God has done in my life. And in saying that, I'm not saying I've arrived in any sense, but I want to share that experience with you because roughly 3 years ago, I was involved in a significant motor vehicle accident. Over the years of my life, I've enjoyed riding motorbikes, and I was on that particular day, and I ended up underneath a trailer. A guy turned in front of me with a vehicle. I was about 3 meters away, and he was pulling a trailer which weighed 1,300 kilograms, and I ended up underneath the trailer, and the trailer ran over me. And I want to just share quickly four providential areas which God, on looking back, demonstrated in my own life quite significantly. I was put into hospital after being admitted there, and the person who saw me in casualty said to my wife that I had a broken wrist and some bruising and would put me into hospital just for observation, and I'd probably be going home the next evening. However, I was then transferred into hospital, not described to a doctor because I was meant to be just transient. And I was there the next day because I was in significant pain and they left me there and still supposedly observing me. But that evening, my family with my wife came to see me. And as visiting hours came to an end, they were about to leave. And I said to Sharon, please don't go. I'm not feeling well at the moment. And she chose not to go. And about 20 minutes later, my blood pressure significantly declined, and I was at a place where I nearly blacked out. And she saw this on me and rushed to get a nurse, and they brought a blood pressure machine in there and took my blood pressure and shouted for another machine because it appeared to them that that blood pressure machine was actually not working. But in fact, it was, but my blood pressure had fallen to this degree. And the first aspect of providence in that was that I wasn't ascribed to anybody. I was just in a general ward. And if Sharon hadn't stayed that period of time, there wouldn't have been anybody to be able to communicate that emergency because they weren't expecting that of me. And Sharon was able then to get me into the hands of the sisters, and they got us you people to come and minister to me. And it was obvious to me there that Psalm 139 speaks of all the days ordained for you being written in the book before one of them came to be. And all those days that God had ordained for me had not yet transpired. And for that reason, Sharon stayed when she could have easily have gone. If that had happened, I wouldn't be here today. And I'm not sure, from God's point of view, what he still has for me. But the fact was that that was the first evidence of his providence. In that instance, what had happened actually was that I was bleeding internally significantly to the point where my lung had been punctured. I was bleeding, and what was happening was that my heart was being compressed with the blood that was in my chest. And so when the doctor came, who subsequently said to me that he was privileged to have saved my life, I took the opportunity to thank him for his instrumentality, but helped him to see that my life was in the hands of God at that time. He took me into a little side room and pushed my bed against the wall, and I remember they had to push a tube through my side to relieve the tension of the blood that was caused in there. And as he did that, I was in the corner, and it was, if you know me, you know that I'm not a type of person that sees miraculous things under every bush. But as I was pushed into the corner, and as he was pushing this thing through my side, it was significantly traumatic because it was an emergency. There was no anesthetic of any sort, local or otherwise. There was like a parable that was brought before me, and I was lying in this bed, and I was looking up, and I could see the wall going up, and I could see the cornice over here, and then the roof, the ceiling. I didn't see any lights or hear any music. I was subsequently told that I was very near death at that point in time. And at that time, despite us having a very close marital and family relationship, I wasn't thinking of my family. But I was consistently aware in the midst of the pain that my life was in a place where it could either, as the two walls met at the corners, it could either go vertically and God could take me to himself at that point in time, or he could see fit to horizontally allow to continue. And one of the things that I was consciously aware of in the midst of all of this was the fact that my life is in the hands of God. And there was nothing anybody could really do about it at that point in time. And the amount of pain and the extremity I was in at the time was the physical context. And yet the level of tranquility that I experienced, I'm not a tranquil person. And if anybody knows me, they will know that. But the level of tranquility that I experienced at that point in time was something that was amazing to me and real. And I thank God for that. I've never, as I've studied the Word of God, I've never been really conscious of any fear of death, but I haven't been sure of the process of dying. But I'm sure of the process of dying, because at that moment in time, I was dying. I was conscious of that. But there was a level of tranquility that I've never experienced in life as I experienced at that moment, as the Lord was with me, as he has promised to be. And providentially, he saw me through that. But then they were hyperactive about this person who was merely meant to be going home the next day, and they put me into ICU. And when I was in ICU, every day they'd come and push x-ray plates under my back in the bed to x-ray my lungs to see what was going on. And on one particular day, after almost a week, the radiologist at the x-ray department wrote a little note at the bottom of the x-ray, which was meant to be focusing on my lungs, and said, "I'm sure you're aware that this guy's back is broken." And they weren't aware that my back was broken. Significantly compression fractures. And they then sped me down to the x-ray department once again, and they found out that I had 16 fractures of the ribs, and I had a broken shoulder. And one of the significant aspects of that providence was that when you look at the x-rays, and I've got a picture of them here, you'll see that there's about 1.5 millimeters of two of my vertebrae left. Your vertebrae are normally little rectangular things, but mine were in two places compressed to a triangle. And if that 1.5 millimeters actually broke, I'd be a quadriplegic today. And during that time, they were pushing x-ray plates under my back and all those sort of things, treating me because I had lung problems. They wanted me to sit in chairs because of the need to breathe, and I was manhandled out of the bed and put in these chairs. And in all of that, God providentially ensured that no further damage was done to me. And today when the medical people look at this, and I've had to go to Road Accident Fund medical people, and they look at this, their constant and regular expression has been, someone upstairs really looked after you. And I have the opportunity then to say to them, it's a uniform thing. They keep on saying to me, each doctor that I've gone to. And I want to testify there again, when people were unaware, we were unaware, where people were unaware, medical people were unaware of my circumstances, the sovereign God was providentially involved and caring for me in ways that were in spite of the situation that I was going through. And so as I continued to go through this, I got pneumonia, I had blood transfusions, and ultimately they had to give me an operation to take the pleural sac away from my left lung. And that is now an ongoing problem. My lung sticks to my rib cage now, and it's, as the doctors tell me, it's like a peanut butter sandwich that holds it there. And so daily now I am sitting with problems in terms of ongoing pain. I'm far from healed in many respects. My skeleton externally and from a flesh point of view, in terms of a physical flesh, I'm well. But from a skeletal point of view, I'm pretty messed up. And I, because I have a massive bump on my back from my back being broken, I live with constant muscle spasms. Your muscles are supposed to go from your neck to your lower part of your body in a straight line. Might have to go over these bumps. So I constantly live with muscle spasms. If I try to, I can only lie on my back when I sleep, despite that, because if I lie on my left-hand side, what happens is that my lung falls off my chest, my rib cage, and it tears away. You can almost feel like a Velcro strip coming off, and then for 3 days you feel like a grass burn inside. And if I lie on my left-hand side, the ribs push into my lung. And so I'm in constant pain. It's a constant condition. It's not going to change. And God has shown me that sovereignly, that is what He's decided for me. Over the years of my life, I've been a hands-on person, involved in many things, and probably to my detriment and God's dishonor, many times I've been able to do things in my own strength. Now I'm much more limited with respect to many of those things. And in the midst of that, I see again God's providence in another area and a whole host of other areas. I've learned the value of deliberate prayer. There's many areas of injury in my body, and it's not good me going to the Lord and saying, Lord, help me in this pain. When I speak to Him and say, Lord, help me with the back pain, or help me with this thing, and deliberately cry out to Him, He deliberately answers with respect to my specific prayers. Be careful for shotgun prayers. God doesn't intend us to just generally throw things at His feet carelessly and casually. And I've learned that most specifically. Long before any of this happened to me, we are married for 40 years, but God providentially gave me a wife who is a woman, a righteous woman, a woman who pleases God. And I thank Him for that. She's a tremendous help to me. Medication, I live on morphine twice a day. And that has become a help in one respect, a limitation in others, because it affects my mental capacity and my short-term memory in particular. But in all of this, day by day, God has taught me acceptance. Acceptance that this was a deliberate accident. God deliberately allowed it to happen. He could have, I could tell you a whole lot about this, but there were a whole lot of ways that this could have been precluded. But God, it was His choice to deliberately allow me to walk that pathway. But in the midst of that, He's taught me to be able to deliberately submit to His choice and to accept that this is the pathway that He wants me to walk down. And I'm grateful for that. And day by day, I experience the ongoing, specific, providential care for my life from God. And I want you to experience that. The fact that your lives could be going, in some areas, difficult, but more particularly just normal, whatever normal is, you need to understand the specific personal providence for you. As you've heard our brother speaking about the sovereignty of God Don't go away here with a theological concept in your mind that leaves you accepting that is true. If it is not true for you, you haven't learnt what has been taught here today. And I ask you to look for the sovereign providential hand of God in your life in the circumstances where you find yourself at this point in time. And he's helped me to see some of that. And I just ask most specifically that the truths that we learn here need to become personal truths. It's wonderful for us to testify as those who hold on to Reformed doctrine that we indeed are holding on to the truth of God, and we are. But they are useless, and it's an egotistical thing. It's something that can make us proud if those things don't become personal for us. And it's my fear that many of us in the Reformed faith, as it were, are willing to talk about those truths and propagate them. And yet in many respects, when we go through life in practice, in our churches, and even in our personal life, they're not meaningfully lived out. But the sovereign purposes of God are tailor-made for you and me. And when he tailor-makes those for you and me, as he's done for me most recently with a deliberate accident, his definite, sovereign, personal purposes are specifically there for us, and we can be secure in that. And that's why texts like, take no thought for tomorrow. What does it mean? It means nothing unless tomorrow is wrapped up in the hands of God for you and for me. And that's only true for tomorrow if you know it today. I encourage you to understand that when my life, I can with Job say, before my ears had heard, but now my eyes see. When my life was hanging in the balances and nobody was even aware of what was going on, God wasn't only aware, he was sovereignly intervening. And I trust that will be for his glory. It certainly was for my earthly good at that time. Lord, we bow before you with humility, recognizing that we speak of you gladly because you are our God. We speak of you as we grow in grace and the knowledge of you with enthusiasm because you sanctify us and you teach us and you lead us through life day by day. Lord, dear God, I ask that for each of us we will not only speak about those truths that we know about you, but the personal embellishment of those truths as we commune with you and we see them being worked out in our life day by day. We know that you are not just telling us truths about yourself with respect to us so that we might know these things, but you're telling us so that we might see them happening in our life and acknowledge the personal communion that you have with us moment by moment and day by day. We thank you that you care for us in this way. Lord, we are amazed that throughout the myriad of issues that lie before you as you sovereignly care for the issues of this world and the universe, the top point of your focus is your people. And your people are made up of individuals such as me and these before you. Help us, Lord, to be so tremendously grateful for the fact that you love us with a perfect love. Your sovereign purposes are not so big to preclude us, but in the midst of all of this, you take the sovereignty of the entirety of your personhood and in a sense tailor that down to a laser beam point that focuses on us each individually and then prepares things for us in this life, prepares us for those things, but then you don't stand off. It's not God is watching us from a distance. You walk with us. And you talk with us, and you guide us through the narrow way. And Lord, for this we are thankful. And we ask, dear God, that our response to you therefore won't be automatic. It won't be some clinical, passive acknowledgement of your presence, but with true gratitude and much humility to just relish the fact that you lead us and guide us by your hand. Not only by your commands, but by your hand. As we speak to you now, you incline your majestic, transcendent ear imminently to the prayers, to our prayers at this moment in time, like a parent leaning down to a little child to hear what they're trying to say. As we speak to you at this moment, so you're doing that for us. the combination of your sovereign transcendence and your personal immanence, Lord, causes us to be before you with humility and amazement. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Thy for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? We thank you for who you are. We bless you. And we ask that you'll help us to be faithful witnesses. In Jesus' name. Amen.